Dear Father in heaven, we thank you again, Lord, for songs that bless our hearts, set the table for us to partake of the course meal from the Word of God. We ask that you give us the liberty today to speak, Lord, bless hearts. May every heart be tuned this way. Holy Spirit, you control the atmosphere here, and we pray that Satan be hindered and God will be honored and people be blessed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Take your Bible, please, and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I want to read down verses 7 through, well, let's see, yeah, down about 7 through 10. Now, last week I started a series of three services, and we preached on biblical faith last week from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1, 2, and 3, and verse 6. For faith is such as things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And today, I want to take it a step further as we look at what happens here in 2 Corinthians. Now, I want you to get the context here. Some people think this latter verse, especially when you get 10, talks about God, you know, judging the saints and the ungodly at the same time. But notice the context as Paul is writing this. In verse 1, notice the pronoun we. He said, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle dissolve, we have a building of God in heaven," he said, a house made with hands eternal in the heavens. In verse 2, he said, "For we groan," notice. Again, verse 3, he said, "If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked." Verse 4, "We that are in this tabernacle." Notice again, he said, being burdened in that verse, not for that we would be unclothed. And I'm hitting some of this, let you know just the context here, who God is talking about, so you know when we get into the message. Now, he said now in verse 5, "Now that he had wrought us," notice again, same talking about the same people, "for the self-same thing is God, who also had given unto us the earnest of his Spirit." Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you'll notice, this contest is not talking about unsaved people. It's talking about those who have been born again to the family of God. First of all, as he talks about, they're the ones who are going to be absent from body to be present with the Lord when they die. They're the ones that's going to be in heaven when they leave this body. They're the ones at the same time who has the earnest of the Spirit, those who are born again. Because having given us the earnest of the Spirit in verse 5, he's talking about the day you got saved, God gave you his Holy Spirit. That's the down payment of our salvation. It's the earnest. You're talking about earnest money up front when you buy something. That's the down payment of it. God gave us his Holy Spirit. Man, you ought to rejoice over that and nothing else. Because you're not left alone in this world to cut a corral through something and not know what you're doing. God will remind us. And so he said, "Now that we have wrought, that he had wrought us for the self-same thing as God, who has also given us the earnest of the Spirit." Now watch. "Therefore, because we do have the earnest of the Spirit, we are always confident, knowing something, knowing that while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord." Did you know the world doesn't know one thing about what's going to happen out of this world except what they hope happens? God has said, "I'm telling you what's going to happen." And he said, "I want you to know as a child of God," even to the church at Corinth, which is one of the most carnal churches there was, and yet saints of God in that church, he's letting them know that because of being born again, he said, "We have confidence. We know that while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord." While I'm here tabernacling right now that you see and I see you, you're absent from the Lord. You know that, don't you? Amen? If you don't, pinch yourself, see if you're alive. Amen? Because you know right now, if you look at yourself in hand or move, whatever, you're absent from the Lord and you're home in the body. But watch what he says. "Now, we who say, we who know what it is to talk about faith," he says now, watch verse 7, "for we walk by faith and not by sight." A lot of Christians need to learn that. He says, because we are who we are, we walk by faith, or at least we should walk by faith and not by sight. Now, the thing about this, faith will help you walk by sight better. But without faith, it won't be as good as it was with faith. You know why? Because everything about God's going to be about faith. You're going to have faith in him because you can't see him. By the way, your eyes don't pick him up. You know that. And yet he's as real as you sitting here today. Now, watch. "For we walk by faith." Now, again, watch. We are confident, though. Watch this. We're confident. I mean, we have the absolute assurance it's going to take place one day in the future. "Now I say, willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." Now, Paul is simply saying, hey, we're now in this flesh, we're absent from God, but we are looking in confidence that we're willing rather to be absent from this body and to be present with the Lord. Must be a better place, ain't it? I mean, nobody wants to be absent from the body to go to hell. Got to be a better place. Come on now, wake up. If that person goes to Sodom, just punch him a little bit, or her. Amen. Going to get a little cooler weather now. When we come in, it's going to be warm in here, so be sure to keep your eyes open. You may miss something if you don't, by sight. Notice in verse 9, wherefore we labor. Now we who understand being here in the body, absent from the Lord, rather be present with the Lord and absent from the body. And yet he said, either way, it doesn't really matter to the child of God, but to the world, they're seeking God. Aren't you glad you already found him? Better still, he found you. Amen. Notice what he said. Wherefore we labor that whether we present or absent, we may be accepted of him. You know, the only thing matters where we're here or with him is that we're accepted of him. And that's what Paul said in this church at Corinth. Now, because of that, watch. For we must, why is it that we labor whether we're absent or present, absent from him or present with him? Why is it that we labor that way? Because he said in verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Watch. That everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. Now he said to the child of God, we're going to be judged at the beam of seat of Christ. The unsaved people are going to be judged at the great white throne judgment book of Revelation. But we're going to be saved, we're going to be judged at the beam of seat of Christ, not according to the sins that sends one to hell, but according to the service of works, whether it's been that which will reap rewards or not reap rewards. And so he's talking to the child of God here. Talking about, my text is found in verse 7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. If you're saved today, you're walking by faith ought to be greater than you're walking by sight. Because what will happen, your walking by faith will lead you to do things that God will have you to do, whereas you won't see it until you get to a point that God wants you to see it, because you have to trust him for it if it ever happens. And so as we think about that, have you ever imagined in your mind, ever tried to walk around with your eyes closed? When you didn't have no sight, I have a number of times. I put handkerchiefs and cloths around my mind. Sometimes I think about when I be around somebody who's blind, what it'd be like, and try to walk around. It don't take just a few minutes to get disoriented if you don't peep. I mean, you put them around there and stay there for a little while, and you try to walk around, and I don't care if you're in the home, you've been there for years, you would get disoriented in just a little bit of time, because it's hard to walk without sight. It's hard to walk without sight. And yet God is talking about the child of God walking by faith and not by sight. Within a few steps, you'll be completely disoriented. You know, it's unnatural to try to walk without looking where you're going. It's unnatural to do that. You're not going to do it, move as fast either as you would if you had your sight. And yet the Apostle Paul is telling Christians that is just what they must do. So I've got to understand what he's talking about, walking by faith and walking by sight. And hope that the only way I can get that from the Word of God, knowing that. In Hebrews chapter 1, if you look in verse 3, the Apostle Paul, which we looked at last week but didn't get into that, the Apostle, or the writer of Hebrews, which I believe is Paul, he simply says this when he said the faith is the substance of things hoped for, and he told you about that, it satisfied, the substance satisfied the scientific mind. And also he said, for the evidence of things not seen, and the evidence satisfied the legal mind. And he said the elders retained a good report from this. Then in verse 3, he said, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. God, Paul is saying, if you walk by faith and believe God, and believe what he says in his word, we know that what we can see was not made out of what can be. We know that what we can see was made out of what we cannot see. In other words, all we see came from something you cannot see, and it came from the hand of God. And God says, when you see it, you look at how did it come into existence. I want you to know, I spoke it into existence. The word of his power. So I can't believe that. You don't understand God then. You don't understand the word of his power. He said he spoke it into existence. Now, faith and sight. Explain the two. Sight, you understand yourself. Look next to you, see someone sitting next to you. If you're not, the seat's empty. And if it is, someone there, you can see. Amen? Talking about sight now. But when it comes to faith, faith is different. Faith is acting on what you believe. Faith can be foolish sometimes. It can be folly, deceptive. It can sometimes can't even make good judgment because you can't see enough or don't know enough from the person who's telling you about what you need to see, though you can't through the eyes of faith. Faith can also be presumptions. It to take for granted or suppose something, assume something to be true. But not so with God. You see, faith is with God and act upon God's word. You can be sure if he said it's going to happen. You can be sure if it's there, it's there. It doesn't matter what man may say in his own thinking, in humanism. But when God said something, we act upon what he said. Why? Because it's his word. I believe just as much so as I, when God said he spoke, worlds came into existence, I believe just as much so as I'm standing here. I don't have to go off on a tangent and try to find something somebody said happened 3 billion years ago and nobody knows it. It just came out of somebody's mind. You say, well, it come out of your mind. No, it didn't. It came from God in his word. Amen. That's how things are made and things are done, and that's how we grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. So again, there's 3 points I'll give you quickly on this thing about walking by faith. First of all, the value of faith. What good is faith if you can't, you say, see it? Well, the value of faith is simply many things we do by faith. Even the humanism, in the man's flesh, he does things by faith. This week, you deposit some money to bank. You put it there because you said they look after you. You don't know how to guarantee they look after. A lot of folks have lost it. You put it there by faith. You got faith, you're going to write a check this week. Where do you work at? You got faith that person is going to pay you this. They said you work 40 hours, I'll give you pay for 40 hours, such amount of money. Now, have you seen the money? You don't even know if the bank money's in the bank or not. Have you seen their books? No, what it is, by faith. You trust that person by faith. Did you know you're working physically in this life by faith to the one who said he'd pay you? Don't quit your job now, but you are, amen. What I'm saying is by faith. You say, well, they've done it before. Doesn't mean they do it all the time, though, Paul, because man is fickle. He can fail. Banks can fail. What would happen? There'd been a number of people in the past in history had money in banks and therefore all of a sudden went to write something and the bank didn't have the money because of bankruptcy and things like that. What I'm saying is even now you understand a little bit about faith. I've got news for you. God never fails. Amen. You think I'm going to put my faith in a bozo in this world as far as humanity is concerned and not put my faith in God? I'm going to trust him and realize that what he says is so. If I can trust man, I can sure trust God. But you know, men think, no, I can trust man because I can't trust God because God can't see him. Well, we'll look at that too if we have the time. It amazes me how this book gives us all the answers. No, by faith we are able to understand. Our faith, ladies and gentlemen, will be in the lie of Satan that God talks about biblically or in the truth of God. I mean, when you think about faith, for biblical faith to have any value whatsoever, hear me now. I'm talking about biblical faith, not human faith. Human faith can be in somebody and it may come true, it may not come true. But biblical faith have any value whatsoever. There must be a God in control of the events that goes on in life. Without God in control, faith has no validity, has no physical being in the world. If God is not in control, even in things in the world that he promises us, then there's no way that faith can have any validity at all as we think about that. Where it be in the physical world and the spiritual world. And Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 shows us that we can understand by faith that the worlds were framed. Now to understand is mental perception apart from our sensual perception. Mental perception that we have to do with sight and hear and touch and taste and smell. But faith is beyond that. It's there whether you can touch it or hear it or smell or taste it or smell it. It's there because God has promised that. Biblical faith is the order to fully develop our minds through faith with God. Faith gives us the necessary perception about the facts of God that we need so we'll understand we can function correctly in life in the things that God said. And we can function for him in the things that he said in life. Faith gives us perception, understanding that God created this world. And that's what Paul is saying, or the writer is saying in Hebrews when he said in verse 3, we understand through faith that the worlds were framed by the word of God. God created everything that exists in the successive and unfolding periods of time. He created it, he prepared it, and he's still active in it. Do you believe that? Amen. Well, thanks. Some of you do. You believe God's still active? I believe God is as much active today as the day he created in the beginning in Genesis 1:1. The only thing about it is he's acting in, not in creation in the sense he did there, but he's acting, maintaining, and working out his plan towards the end. And it's going to take place. It's going to take place soon, I believe. I believe soon it's going to take place. So God created everything. So faith then is acting on what we believe that God's word has said. Faith is not foolishness. Faith is not presumptuously. Faith has validity simply because without God in control, there is no such a thing as faith as far as the Bible is concerned. Because he's the one that has to control that. So first of all, I know the value of faith. I know it operates with God's help through his precious word. And also I see now the second thing I have to understand, how did God prepare the worlds then? How did he do that? It's important for me to understand some things about beginnings because I'm part of the beginning, even though I came 6,000 years later. He said, by his word was spoken. He spoke the worlds in existence. Amen. Man, hey, thank you, sir. Now, the thing about this is this. You say, someone said, well, preacher, you don't know if that's so. You won't back there. No. How can you know it's so? These people who said 3 billion years ago things happened won't back there either. Amen. Amen? Well, how? If they won't back there, how do they know? Did you know a lot of folks will, by human faith, accept that lie rather than believing God by biblical faith? Thank you, Brother Jeff. It will. Just simply do that. And God would have us believe him because he's documented his word and he's kept it for us for our age. Look at the time we have this Bible that he's preserved for our day. Did you know if God was not in control, this book had been gone a long time ago. Man's hated this book. They'd burn it. They'd try to destroy it. Kingdoms have tried to eradicate it and it'll still come up. God will preserve somewhere or another. And next thing you know, that which government and others think are destroyed, it'll pop up somewhere else. You know why? God's in control. God is his words and vocabulary for us to understand what he wants. This book is his word. You'll not know about God unless you read and study this book. And then you'll see things a lot different than the world sees it when they say, ah, it can't be so. I can't believe such as that. Well, we know that God Almighty spoke it into existence. And when he spoke, he brought into existence everything that was brought into existence. Hebrews 3 tells us that. I'll give you some quick examples. In Psalms chapter 33, verse 6 through 9, God said, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He said in verse 9, for he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. If you look also in Isaiah chapter 40, another place, God set forth the same truth again. He said in verse chapter 40, in verse 25, 26, to whom then will ye liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Lowly One? Lift your eyes high and behold who had created these things that bringeth out their host by number. Talking about the stars here. He calleth them by name. Isn't that amazing? We've got a few names ourselves today. God knows the name. You think he can't? Someone said, well, he can't know that. God knows everything. He says he calls them by name. I'm not going to doubt that. You say, you mean every star in the universe he's called by name? Well, he didn't limit any of them, did he? Boy, he must have a big dictionary head. Amen. He calleth them all by name by the greatness of his might, for he that is strong in power, not one faileth. If you also look over in chapter 42, and you see that God says again, and down about verse 5. He said, Thus saith the God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath to the people upon it and spirit to them that walk therein. He confirmed it also in chapter 44 when he says in chapter 44 over about verse 24. He said, 23, he said, sing ye, O heavens, for the Lord hath done it. Shout ye, lower parts of the earth. Break unto singing, ye mountains, O forests, every tree. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and glorified himself as in Israel. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer. He said, and he that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretch forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. Boy, God lets us know who he is and what he did. And you know, you say, well, preacher, why would God brag about that if he didn't? He just tells us he's God. We won't believe it. He tells us that he's God and I can prove it to you. And he goes through it in his word and showing us these things. And then Hebrews, again, we see over in John chapter 1 and verse 3, he says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So amazing people with brilliant minds given to them by God spend their time trying to explain the origin of the universe and they leave God out. Folks, I'm going to be honest with you. You can call me narrow-minded if you want to. I'm not going to listen to a person say anything about beginning of time when they leave God out. If they leave God out, they're not accurate. You say, well, they're accurate according to the historical books. Without according to eternity, they're not accurate. God is the one who's accurate about what he's doing and what he's going to do. They deny that God created the universe. They believe the Big Bang theory or similar theories of gigantic explosion of energy billions of years ago without it's about our world and our universe, and they leave God out. Their theory for creation is direct opposition to the second law of thermodynamics. They look at our complex system, that incredible complex system of planets and stars and living organisms. They were created out of nothing by itself. They leave intelligent design out. And someone says, well, we don't believe in God. Well, call it intelligent design, because when you say intelligent design and creation, you're talking about God. Amen. You just don't know that. And they won't even let us use that. Amen. These people in the world, scientists say, you know, that don't believe in God, say, we're not going to use intelligent design. We know who you're talking about. Yes, intelligent design is God when it comes to creation in this world. And so again, when you talk about the second law of thermodynamics, that says everything moves from order to disorder. Everything moves from better to worse. And yet, we come up with evolution in man's mind, and we say everything moves from worse to better. Everything moves from disorder to order. But then they come back and find out the law of second thermodynamics, and they say, well, no, everything moves from order to disorder. Well, that's exactly right, because sin is destroying everything. And God gives us an answer for that. And so here we are, caught between the two. Who are we going to believe, God? Or are we going to believe humanity, which many times comes from the influence of Satan? They deny one of the laws that control the scientific phenomena itself. If you go to the book of Romans in chapter 1, you'll see again how Paul writes this about this. And he talks about it in verse 19. I love this. He said, for because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it to them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. What did he say? He said the invisible things, those things you cannot see, notice what he says, from the creation of the world are clearly seen. If it's invisible, how can you see it? And that's the way the world looks at it. See, they stop right there. If it's invisible, you can't see it. Wait, you need to rest, as Paul Harvey says, see the rest of the story. He said simply, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they're without excuse. He says the invisible thing can't be seen, can be seen by the things that has already been seen. That which you see, creation, things that are made, even his eternal God. He said, you look and see that are made, and that should give you the intelligent design that there's something that's eternal and more powerful than you've ever seen in man's history. And that's to be able to speak and worlds will be formed. He said, so that they are without excuse. And someone said, well, I'm not going to believe anything I can't see. Well, if you believe in evolution, you're believing in something you can't see. And you believe in something you were told. I'm just not going to believe in something I can't see. But do you believe you got a mind? You'll never see it. You say, I can, I see the brain. Wait a minute, the brain's a little bit different when you talk about the mind. But you know, you have a mind, don't you? That's right, preacher, I know I've got a mind because I got evidence. I can think, I can converse with people, and I can talk. Yeah, I've got the results of a mind, you can see it. And God says what you see here is the results of God too. Amen. You look up into space, you look in the microscope, you look anywhere you want to, and you'll see God if you let God open your eyes through the spiritual world. And he says that. Those unwilling to believe what God has said about himself and his work that he does in his word have no perception of what he has revealed about himself even through creation. Ladies and gentlemen, do you think that Noah felt like building the ark at age 600 years old? I don't think so. But he did why? He believed God. He just believed God. You don't start doing something 600 years old. In fact, nobody now does anything 600 years old but die. But in that particular day, you know, even 600 years, he might have lived, he lived a few years older than that. But 600 years old, there's a lot of things happens when it comes to sin. Do you think Moses enjoyed leading those mumbling, aggravating people through the wilderness? They were grumbling all the time. Everything. Want to go back to Egypt? You think he enjoyed that? No. Yet he obeyed God. By the way, he was 80 years old when God sent him on that trip. Amen. And for 40 years he wandered with them in the wilderness, and all the troubles he had and the extraordinary things that took place and the burden of those people and the deaths they had and the burials they had to have because of sin, and those 20 years and older died. You think that Moses as a man wanted that at 80 years old? No, but he obeyed God. See, that's the difference. You don't see, unless you see it, you'll not obey. So we must seek out and listen to and spend time with God and recognize his voice with all our heart and soul. We see in Psalms, I love this, in Psalm chapter 40, verse 4 and 5, I see the psalmist said this. He said in verse 4, blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as touch aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done. David is saying this. And thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order to thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. But in verse 8, he said, I delight to do thy will. In verse 17, he said, but I'm a poor and I'm poor and needed. Yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my helper and my deliverer. Make me to tarry, O God. It is sad, ladies and gentlemen, but this book will make you look at yourself if you look at this book. You know why? If you're saved, the Holy Spirit lives in you. And you can find him so long, but if you get in this book, he'll take this book and stir it up in your heart, let you see things that you'd do things you never thought you'd. If you'd said to me, even after I got saved years ago, if you'd said that I'd be doing right here where I am now, I'd say, you're out of your mind. But this book will change it. You know why? It's the Word of God. God preserves his Word, and you can't hide it in your heart without understanding that life is more important, what he tells us to do, than what we strike out to do. It's sad, but many people live their whole lives outside of God's will. And you look at my wife and I was writing the other day, and we said to each other, you know, it's an amazing thing. Everybody's got a frown on their face. You ever watch people? Once in a while, you see a smile and a laughter. But you look at people, most people got a frown on their face. Driving down the road. You know what? We're all needy people. We're having problems. I don't care who you are in here. You've got some problems somewhere or another. Maybe only God knows about it. But you've got some problems. Why? Because we're not arrived home yet. If not, hold on. It's coming. You see, they're unhappy in their career, in their marriages, in their own city, in their own house, in their own car, on the wrong side of the street most of the time. Everybody has problems. And this is, nowadays we have so much, it don't take a whole lot to make us unhappy. So the valley of faith shows us how to prepare in this world. Number three, notice the difference quickly to faith and sight, how they affect our lives. Our lives are affected by faith and sight. There's the authority that our lives are affected by faith in the authority that we use and in the sight of authority we use. To walk by sight depends on what you experience in this physical world. You plan everything by what you see, and you plan to the future based on what you see now and to do what you're going to do in the future. And many times God's not in it. So to walk by faith or by sight affects our lives and our authority. To walk by faith, though, is to confide in the revelation for authority from God's Word. Romans 10, 17 says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We already seen last week that, you know, without faith it's impossible to please God. Now, if it's impossible to please God without faith, then anything we strike out to do, don't ask him about it and trust him for it, even as a child of God, is not going to work out too good. It may work out good for us here because we got the ability to work hard and lose out when we get on the other side. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. Life's too short to lose out the other side. You're going to be a lot longer over there than you are here. And so am I. And I thank God for his word that directs us. So to walk by faith is to confide a revelation for authority from God's Word. This is where we get our authority. Walking by faith or sight affects us in our materialism in this world. And I'm going to have about three or four. There's a number of everything we face affects us, walking by faith or by sight. To walk by sight is to manage materialism with anxiety. Here one is far more concerned with accumulating wealth than they are serving God. And that's what God warns us about. He's not saying that wealth itself is wrong. But what happens is it will take our place in society and keep us tied up, because that's where Satan works at a lot, and do less for God. And here's the thing. Here one can see money and the attendant pleasure it yields, but they cannot see God. God is to be served more than just one day a week. Not of us say that. We see that. And what God does, I didn't write this. God had written this for us all to look at. I saw things years ago. I often wonder where I'd be at if I'd stay where I had probably been dead, because I've probably been out of the will of God. I'd much rather be in the will of God and do what God says do than be out, even though it may mean things in this world. You see, we have two worlds to live in. And I learned a long time ago, I'm going to be longer over there, a lot longer over there than I am here. And God says what you do here is going to matter over there. And he helped me see that years ago after he got me saved. 3 years I run from him after I got saved. I thank God for what he's shown through the years. So here one is far more concerned about accumulating wealth than they are serving, because once you get it, you're going to have to maintain it. And so we spend more time getting than serving God. And you know that's true. All of us know that. Ladies and gentlemen, myself, all to everyone here, and everyone listen to my voice. When we get to heaven one day, we're going to be surprised how much time God gave us and how much we gave him. You think God is concerned about anything except his plan? Did you know he'd rather see us in his plan operating what he gives us to dictate our heart with our abilities than anything else in this world we could do? And he would honor that as we do that by faith. Here one sees the pleasure, and that brings great pleasure in life. But Proverbs chapter 27, verse 20 says, the eyes of a man are never satisfied. Isn't that amazing? Man won't tell you that. But God says our eyes will never be satisfied. That's what we see by sight. He never reaches the point where he has enough. And Paul told Timothy is to not fix one's hope on the uncertainty of riches. Read in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. So God understands that in this life we see it's there, it's in our hand. What God says, you've got to pray, and you can't see it, but you get it by faith. It's substance, but you can't see it, yet you know it's true. It's evidence, but you can't see it, and you know it's true. The world will laugh at you and I. There's been many a person who've said, who wouldn't go to church, maybe a husband and wife wouldn't go to church with her husband and wife, and the husband and wife believed that God deserved his tithe. And he'd say, you're not going to that church and give our money to God. He didn't work for it. They don't understand the concept of what God is saying. And that's the way it is with the world. Unsaved people don't understand the concept. That's the reason God loves them like he loved us when we were saved. That's the reason we got to love them. We got to love them and let them try to expand. Listen, words is the only thing we have. And the Word of God hidden in our hearts is the only thing we can give. And if God doesn't do it with the Word of God, it can't be done. It won't be done. He uses his Word, not only to draw us to the Lamb of God with the gospel, but to teach us. The Great Commission is not just winning people. It's winning people to the Lord with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's baptizing them that they show the death, resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then it's teaching them to observe what God says for us to do in our lives. And that's what the church is for, that we have in this life. To walk with faith is to handle this world's good with contentment, trusting God for all our needs. Philippians 4:11. Paul said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. He didn't know it to start with. He said, I've learned that. God taught me this. And then you find yourself working and you enjoy the labors. God will make a person a multimillionaire. If God is first, and they'll reap rewards in heaven as much so as here. But if God makes us anything in this life and he's not first, we'll lose it all when we leave here, even though we may go to heaven. You see what I'm saying? See, God sees it all, folks. Listen, he sees the eternity, and he sees where we're at. He deserves more than any of us give him. And to walk with him, to handle these goods here. Did you know also, not only to walk by faith and sight affects our authority, it affects our lives in authority and in suffering, in materialism, but it also affects our lives in suffering. To walk with sight is to walk with suffering in deep, dark despair. I don't have time, but if you go read sometime today, Psalm 73. And read verse 1 down to about verse 16. Asaph gives us an analysis, how God says a child of God looks. He said, "My feet almost slipped. I looked at the rich and so forth, and I saw them, and I tell you, I just couldn't understand. Here I was hurting. Here I was having all these problems, and I looked at, they looked like when they died, they have no pain whatsoever." That's why they use the word bands, have no pain. It seems that they seem to have everything they want, and here I am, and I cannot make living sometimes. That's what I'm at. I can't at least have what someone else has had. And he said, what happens? Read Psalm 73. I wish I had time, but because it took a little longer this morning, I don't have time. You read it. It'd be good to read. And then all of a sudden, he said, when he got down towards the end, here's what he said. He said, after he finished it, in verse... He said in verse 16, "When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. When I looked at them unsaved and what was happening and what I was doing before God by faith, it was so painful for me." He said, "I just could hardly stand it. And my feet like to slip back." But then watch, and here's what I'm going to close, folks. Here's what Asaph said. He said, "Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood." In other words, what happened in the sanctuary? Same as we have the house of God today. The Word of God was open. The Word of God spoke plainly to my heart. The Word of God showed me there's more to life than what I see around me. And he said, and then he said, until I went, he said, "Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down to destruction. How are they brought into desolation? And in a moment they are utterly consumed with terror." He said, "I see in the Word of God that's preached and taught in the house of God, make me think about things not in present, but in eternity. And understand, as Paul said, we walk by faith now while we're absent from heaven and in these bodies. We're present in these bodies." He lays it out for us while we're present in these bodies, absent from God. And yet at the same time, we labor for Him whether we're present here or with God. We labor not just for ourselves, but for Him. Not a lot of amens today, brother, but something's needed. We need to understand in this world we live at today more so than ever before, Satan's got a way to trap us and rob us spiritually because we set our affection on things, not on above, but of this world. To walk in sight is to suffer despair. But to walk by faith is to become more confident of the destiny of our walk. Because we go to the house of God. We listen to the Word of God. We hear it preached. We may turn it off and we may accept and say, "Lord, this blesses me. Help me see more. I can see more than just what Brother Ennis has said today." Our sights are set on heaven and not on this world when you walk by faith. Faith is, again, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We are walking by faith and not by sight. And now, when you do that, you know God is honored when you do that. And you can enjoy the blessings of life. You can enjoy the lifestyle. Man alive, if a man is serving God like he should, I praise the Lord for everything they have. You heard me talk about Brother Anderson many years ago up north, multimillionaire, and how that he's close to 90 years old now, I guess, and he's served God all these years, and he's probably one of the wealthiest men I know. And the thing about it is, he never ceased to do God's work. He went soul winning every week. He was in the house of God. He said times, you hear me say, he'd lose $100,000 jobs because he wouldn't go to a meeting on the night they had visitation. They'd go to visitation, win souls. Now he's supporting hundreds of missionaries around the world out of his own companies he's in because he believes in soul winning. So walk by faith. And I say this when I close. We walk by faith and not by sight. Did you think, ladies and gentlemen, that I ever thought, when you look in 2 Corinthians and know what Paul tells us, you think that I ever thought when God led us to this town, my wife and I rode through here years ago, 46 years ago, praying for God to lead us somewhere. Did you ever think we saw this? No, but we saw faith. You ever think when we started in that dry cleaning building and week after week after week, nobody came except once in a while? Why didn't we quit? Because we believe God. I still do. You think we'd had a day like we had yesterday, that we could ever see that would happen? But we had faith. Folks, I believe it all in my heart. I told some people, I don't have to prove nobody anything to anybody except God. I don't have to prove nothing to anybody. I'm 53, thank God. God reversed my age, amen. I'm soon to be 74-year-old. And I think about, this church has been built by faith. This building, look, many of you are not here when this building was built. But there's a great story how this building was built. God gave us an answer, no interest. This church has been built by faith. This coming Friday, September 27th, I'll be 54 years old in the Lord. I'd say September 27, 1959. I thought when I started out, because I was so hard to reach, 3 years in a church and lost, I thought, and you heard me say again, I thought started out that I was just going to continue God's blessings, as a apprenticeship, I was in a good position, I could serve God, and yet, amazing. Listen, don't say you're going to believe God and get in this book and find out you go the way you're going. This book will change you. It will change you. I can say that. If I was just starting out, I wouldn't know. But this book is the Word of God. It will change you if you listen to what God says in this book. And by the way, you won't be deceived by others who, when you listen to what God, if you get it in context. I left no number of people I debated in 2 Corinthians 5. And somebody said, well, when you appear for a judgment seat, that means save and save. No, it doesn't. I improved that over and over and over by the terminology used in context here. He's talking about God's children. And the only way the person will get saved is not walk by faith. This coming Friday, 54 years serving the Lord. 49 years ago, this past July 1964, I was ordained into the ministry. The years before that, I did layman work everywhere across this country. 45 of those 49 years, God has kept us here. Did you think we see? You think we see almost 95 missionaries around the world? You think we saw a radio that we don't own? You think, no. What you do, you step out by faith. You step out by faith. And when you take a step, God puts ground underneath you. And he honors and blesses that. He'll test you and he'll try you. He'll wonder sometime if you're in the right place. He'll make you wonder. I like one of the sessions yesterday, a blessing heart. It really blessed my heart that the Sister Walker. What's her first name? Loretta, thank you. She'll kill me if she knows I forgot her name. Loretta Walker. That's why her daughter's with her, and they demonstrated a session that was a blessing. The difference between families in families and how they think and so forth and how they acted to each other and how God could bring that melody there. It'd be worth you to get that for your home just to listen to. It'd be worth the fact to hear her and her daughter go through what they went through and how they looked at things and how God brought them. They didn't think a lot. And God brought them to the place now that her daughter, as an adult, is serving God with her. That's what it is. See, that's what God does. You think, well, I don't know if I'd ever do that or not. I don't know if I would either. But I'll tell you this. You get in this book and you walk by faith and not by sight. That means, Lord, I don't understand it. I don't see it. I don't see nobody necessarily doing it. But I believe it all in my heart. When you said this, we're going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That every one of us may receive the things done in the body concerning that which is done, whether it be good or bad. That means that if it's good, you're going to get a reward. If it's something that not, it'll be burned up. It'll be worthless. I believe that. Lord, then help me by faith to understand what this means. Help me understand as I walk by faith to see you. Faith cometh hearing by the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing and by the word of God. So that says to me, if I'm going to find out, I've got to look into this book. Now, I got enough faith to believe God. If you're not saved today, if you trust him, he'll save you. If you believe on him, he'll save you. Why? That's what he says. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But it's not going to be here. It's got to be here. Would you stand to your feet, please? If you're here today and God's touched your heart about something, listen, you never go wrong in believing and doing what God says to do. You just never will. Think about it. If you're here and you're not saved, I trust that you trust Christ as Savior. And keep in mind, God Almighty, Abraham is one of the wealthiest men in the Old Testament. God made him wealth. He said, I give you wealth. And he does that. On the other hand, Abraham served God. Every day, not just a few days, every day. Even though he had some problems, he served God. Ladies and gentlemen, learn to inventory your life and say, Lord, here am I. I don't know what talents I've got for you, but Lord, I do want to use them for you. I've used them for myself for years now, Lord, but I really want to use them for you. Be honest with God. No one knows except you and God. No one can evaluate you. No one can judge you. We can judge fruit, but we can't judge you. Only God can be the one who actually judges us. I say again, I didn't write this book, but God did call me to preach it. I didn't write this book. And I hope today that you'd help us, God, to help us understand what we need to see. My Father, Lord, it'd been much easier to preach on the grace of God. It'd been much easier. But you led to this thing of faith, because I believe a lot of folks need to understand it. Faith is a subject of things hoped for. It's evidence to the scientific mind. It satisfies the scientific mind. It's substance, and it's evidence of those, dear Lord, that you've set forth. That means it satisfied the legal mind. So I'm covered both ways when I go to the Word of God. Grant you, some things are not easy to understand.